All right, we're back, YouTube. This is Jack Antics, where we jacked up on taking the answers for everything else. And we back here again. We're going to tell you again. And we got a special guest, one of the fan favorites out here, Janal. But we might, bro, you might as well be my co-host at this point.
Hey, man, go ahead and induct me, man. I'm ready to join the conclave.
The conclave? Jeez. What the fuck?
The conclave. We are the collective.
The but cathedral. Yes. The cathedral is like GLC.
Y'all, welcome to the Jack Antics Tabernacle. I am Janal, J-Nal, Nolly-Nal, the Gap 2 Gamer, however you want to call it. It is I, and pleased to be here.
This man says the Gap 2 Gamer. Wow.
Oh man, shoot.
Call me Zorro, man. You know what I'm saying?
You can see, he said, call me Zorro. Shit, call me Coach. Call me Coach.
All right, little B. But hell this, no, boy. This is take two of a show that was recorded, but we had a little technical difficulties. Don't want to get into that. But this is a end of the year show. End of the year 2020. 2020 was a year. It was a heck of a year, man. Learned a lot. Yeah, man. It was a lot of adjusting, I would say. Mm-hmm. But in the world of technology, anime, and gaming. Excuse me. Technology and gaming, that it changed a lot. Well, not changed, but it was a lot of stuff that came out. So, with that being said, the topic of this podcast is the anime, top anime of 2020. And a lot of anime that came out this year. There's some that made you laugh, cry, you know, some sports stuff. So for me, the top anime for me, because I'm gonna say my top three, you're gonna say your top three, and then we're gonna conjoin a list. Mm-hmm. All right, that sounds cool. So, all right, my top three anime that I have to say for this year. Number three, I will have to say, God of High School. Okay. And the reason why I say that, because it's very action filled. The main character, he's just trying to win a tournament that all the strongest fighters across the world are trying to win. But it's some stuff that happens, and they have their chariots. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like their alter ego, basically. So I don't want to spoil too much of it, because something happens to the main character's grandfather, and he... Everybody has their own little backstory on why they're in a tournament or why they're trying to win. Because the organization that's running it promised somebody something. Like, some people are in the tournament for different reasons, but there's two organizations trying to find some sort of key to unlock it.
The magical MacGuffin.
Yes. I'm lost for words today.
Sometimes anime is just that good sometimes. Shit.
Nah. But this is top three. Because only reason is at the number three spot, because I'm not gonna lie, it sort of got lost in the sauce when I was watching so much other stuff, because it might even come off this list now. I'm thinking about it. It might even come off this list. Matter of fact, this is top four. This is a four. This is a four spot.
Let's do it.
You know why it's a four spot? Because I just thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not better than it's not better than Haikyuu. Because my number two and number one spot is way better than that. And Haikyuu has to be on the list.
Okay.
So we're gonna knock God of High School, even though it's a good action. If you like action and a lot of fights, it does have a story, but it's more action feel. And plus, it was a comic before it off webtoons. A lot of stuff off webtoons I'm starting to see are getting turned into animations.
Okay.
So most of the newer animes, they were on webtoons at some point in time.
That's a sign. Hey, you want your shit to be noticed, put it on webtoons. Message. Right. Message.
Especially to the people that draw.
Like me. Hey, all my fellow comic book creators out there, we need to make a movement, man. Go ahead and post some shit to webtoons, because I'm working on something right now.
But got a high school, like I said, it got lost in the sauce. So I'm thinking about it. Haikyuu has to be number three. And the reason for that is amazing story, bro. You see the progression from season one up until now to season four. The new season for Haikyuu came out this year. It's a sports volleyball anime about Hinata. He's very short. He's vertically challenged. He's vertically challenged. He's about, I would say, I forgot his exact measurements, but he's pretty short to play. He's like 5'7".
So he's basically the Muggsy Bowles or the Isaiah Thomas of volleyball.
More like, he's like average height, and everybody else is like over 6 foot.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, I guess so, yeah. So he's 5'7", and he can jump really high. And he's very athletic and agile. But the progression of how he learned the sport, because it started off when he was in middle school, season one, that it was his first time playing in the game, to now they playing for to go to nationals. So the progression of the story is amazing, and how he put in the hard work just to get there, because he came a long way. He didn't even know how to hit the ball back. He just knew how to spike, and that's it. That was his thing. That's all he did. That's all he knew how to do. He came with black Air Force One energy all the time.
Started from the bottom, now you there.
Right. So it's an amazing story. If you like sports anime such as Kiriko no Basket, Slam Dunk, all that stuff, you will really enjoy this. Because those anime open the door for anime like this. So, you know, pay your respects. Respect.
Pay homage.
Homage, dog. Did you want to do your number three, and then I can come back and do my number two, and then, you know, so on and so on.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. All right. So my number three is kind of going to be a collective. The only reason it's two animes is because they come from the same studio, and that's going to be Blood of Zeus and Castlevania Season 3. I'm a real big history buff. I love mythology and all just old school fantasy. So these two animes, they piqued my interest. First, I talk about Blood of Zeus in a nutshell. It's a retelling. It's the telling of a story from mythology. One of, you know, Zeus, big dog god pimp. Of course, he got about 17 different kids, some of them by his wife, who is also a god, Hera, and most of them by some human chicks. And it follows one of his sons, Heron, as he makes his as he kind of goes throughout his life, not only being the illegitimate child, but being the child of also a god and being stronger than everybody else and not knowing why. And it culminates in some of the craziest action, craziest boss fights of all time, because who doesn't want to watch guys and titans fight? It's lit. 10 out of 10, we'll watch it again, have watched it twice, and probably gonna do it a third time now that I'm talking about it. And my second one is Castlevania Season 3. Castlevania kind of is one of my favorite franchises. I keep trying to play Symphony of the Night. I keep trying to emulate it. I keep trying to play it. I've emulated the Game Boy Advance game. So Castlevania kind of has a grip on me. And just for them to go back to the beginning, to the crux of the Castlevania universe, and see how Alucard and Trevor Belmont and Cypher Belnatis got together and fought and beat Dracula. It's amazing. And that's what this season is about. The animation is top notch. The fights are amazing. Everything's turned up to 10. And in Season 3 specifically, Cypher and Trevor are visiting this city that has been overrun by a cult worshiping basically a demon. They've been worshiping a demon. They were priests at first. Now they're worshiping a demon. These niggas weird. They strange. They got real bug eyes. Look like everybody.
They do a little something for a piece of change.
Yeah, they do something strange for a little piece of change. Now, don't let them fool you, boy. Their eyes bug. They on perks, pills, something, Zans. I don't know what it is they on, but their eyes bug. And them niggas strange. But basically they fighting them. Dracula at the crib chilling. He doing all type of other stuff. But it basically focuses around Cypher and Trevor and how they take down this cult and return the town back to normal. And the humor, the off the cuff humor, is crass, it's hilarious, it's just like I like it. Imagine if South Park had 10 times better animation quality and motherfuckers had powers. And that's Castlevania from a humor standpoint. At one point in time, there's one of the he's more of a posh gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he's basically a magician, and he's trying to sneak around the cult. And he tells the guy from the cult, he's like, yeah, I'm about to go to the city, go find me a city that has toilet paper. And the story takes place in the 1500s, so that it really hadn't been created yet. So
what? Hold on. What?
Exactly.
But he's a time traveler?
Yeah, he is a time traveler. He's a time traveler and a dimension hopper. So he's talking about toilet paper, and then he just walks off. He's trying to get away from the cult dude, and the cult dude just looking at him. He's like, what the fuck is toilet paper? Boy, I bust out laughing. I died. I was like, oh, these nasty motherfuckers. But yeah, if you haven't seen Castlevania yet, you need to watch it ASAP. But yeah, they both came from the same studio. They're both near and dear to my heart.
So they tied for number
three. They tied for my number three. Yeah, man. Okay. Blood of Zeus, Castlevania, the entire series, but Season 3 came out this year, so I had to put it on in there.
All right, so my number two is an anime that we talked about in the first take, never watched it, but I took the time to watch it. I binge watched it, 2 seasons. The second season came out in 2020, and that, what I'm talking about, is ReZero.
Yeah, boy.
Bro, this anime right here, let me tell you something. This was the most saddest thing I ever watched.
Boy.
And the reason why it's so sad is the main character, Subaru. Like the car. He liked the car, basically.
Yep.
Subaru. has the ability called Return of Death. And he is sent to this magical place because he was just going to a convenience store, and next thing you know, he's in another world.
Mm-hmm.
This place is filled with demi-humans, witches, all type of different things. Humans, fairies,
mm-hmm.
different stuff like that.
He regular degular.
Yes, he regular degular. Don't have no powers. He barely know magic.
He the only nigga with a tracksuit on.
Yeah. Only person with a tracksuit. Hey, yo, tracksuit. They should have dressed him like...
Bro, he got full Adidas on and everybody is wearing medieval wear around him.
Everybody's like, you sure do dress weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking like a Russian gangster.
But his power allows him, if he get killed, to go to a particular save point. And he doesn't know what the save point is until he goes back.
Mm-mm-mm.
And he can die and come back alive as many times he wants. But the kicker is, he remembers all the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And he cannot tell nobody. He can't tell nobody about the powers because it'll kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll kill the other person.
Boy, that's what killed me. That little theme song they had going on. Every time some crazy shit happened, I was like, it's going down.
Man. Bro.
Mm-mm-mm.
That, and I'm telling you, man, I felt for this guy because that can play with your psyche so bad. Like, the many ways that he dies throughout the entire series is so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
It is so messed up. The only one I'm gonna tell you, because I don't think you watched the second season, because the second season, way more messed up deaths. Way more messed up. Stuff that will make your skin crawl.
Yeah, I gotta get back on it, bro. I watched it when it first came out, and I ain't seen the second season yet. You got me. I'm ready to return. Bro, go ahead and make my return tonight.
First,
I got the
Funimation app. In the first season, when the Beast Hunter lady cut this man in the abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
And not just once, but about four times.
On some Dexter shit.
And no, just imagine that. You see your killer after you return by death, and you see your killer out in the street. Like, and they don't know they about to kill you in about 5 hours.
Yeah. Because he goes back in time. He dies and nobody remembers anything except him. Man, it's traumatizing.
Bro,
I know he was messed up behind that. But it's such an enjoyable experience. Watching his pain.
Bro, I tell you, in the second season, it's gonna answer a lot of questions.
Okay.
You're gonna be very shocked.
Okay.
To find out. Because I was shocked and I was just like, oh, really?
Money said.
Oh, really?
Man. Okay.
But that is number two because it literally took me on a journey and I felt this man pain. I was just like, bro. Like, I was like, bro, I feel for you. I know what you, I don't know what you're going through, but I just like, man.
Seeing it from the outside looking in, you be like, my God, damn, my.
God, damn. Bro.
What?
No. No, that is a horrible thing to experience, because that your mind is breaking into small little pieces, and you cannot confide in anyone. You just gotta sit there and eat it
and bottle that shit up, and then if you tell somebody, either you gonna die or they gonna die.
And if
you go back.
It made so much sense on why, like, every other minute this man crying, because I was just like, yo, this man is really breaking down mentally. This man is having a mental breakdown every other death. That got to mess with your psyche.
Boy, yeah.
The betrayal in there. Like, sometimes you get something wrong, the people that you didn't expect that was going to kill you. Like, what? What? And that'd be the messed up part in there. It's just like, but you go on and say your number two.
Okay. All right. So my number two is an anime that kind of pulls at your heartstrings. It's not a previous season or anything. It's just a standalone project. Japan Sinks 2020. Man, when I tell you, if you want a story that's going to pull at your heartstrings, if you want a disaster anime that's going to fuck you psychologically a little bit and has a riveting story, Japan Sinks 2020 is the pick for you. Basically takes place in a current era Japan, and a massive earthquake basically hits Japan. Tsunamis, chaos ensues, tsunamis hit, people die, the social infrastructure is completely destroyed, people are trying to travel wherever they feel is safe. And along the way, you get to see the dregs of humanity come out. You got people looting, you got people killing, you got people taking advantage of people, because at one point in time, one of the main protagonists gives water to this elderly couple. She thinking they're gonna take a little sip. They drink her whole shit. She's just looking like, what the fuck? But shit,
they gotta get the back slap.
Exactly. Gotta go ahead and pimp slap that hoe. Whoosh. But shit, like, it lets you know you can't really trust anybody. And it has kind of an Akame Ga Kill vibe, in that any of the main characters can die at any given time. So you can't get too attached to a certain character, because they could get killed off later on that episode or even on the next episode. And it doesn't, they don't discriminate. There are innocent children. There are adults. There are tourists, people of all different walks of life coming through this anime, as well as a cult. So you know some crazy shit going down. But yeah, Japan Sinks 2020. Go watch that. Go ahead and watch that. It's on Netflix. You can't miss it.
Dang, that's crazy. Netflix, actually, other than their live action, they've been actually doing good with a lot of good anime.
Yeah, they live action anime is trash. They anime adaptations is trash.
Well, one of them, I kind of enjoy, is Sweet Home.
Sweet Home, I gotta watch that one.
Yeah, that was also a webtoon.
Okay,
damn, I tell you, webtoons are winning, bro.
Message to the creators out there. Message.
Webtoons are winning, but my number one, you should have seen this coming, bro. You already know what it is. You already know what it is, man.
Do it start with a J?
Of course. It's Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yes, sir.
Jujutsu Kaisen is set in a world where there's cursed spirits, and only a certain demographic of people with certain powers that go to a kind of gifted school can see them. Mm-hmm. So they fight spirits, cursed spirits, because everybody, cursed spirits feed off negative energy. That's how they create it. And you gotta have people to exorcise them. So you have students of the school, of the gifted school, to come and exorcise them. But the main character is Yuji. I don't know how to say his last name. But Yuji, he's the beefed up character. He has extraordinary athleticism, strength already. But as he was trying to save some students at his school before he transferred to the gifted school, he ended up getting backed into a corner when he was fighting this cursed spirit.
And he swallowed a finger.
Yep, he swallowed the cursed finger.
And raising the ass finger
of Sukuna. One of the most powerful curses that they know.
Fun fact, he's based on a Japanese deity.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Learn that from Neo too.
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you got Yuji, which is, for me, he reminds me of the spirits and the optimism of a Naruto, with the strength of just pure strength of a Asta.
Just think about like that, like when you were back in high school, that random ass dude that was strong as hell but wasn't built. That's him. Just a random ass strong.
He was swole.
But yeah, just a strong motherfucker that you knew in high school, that's him.
Then you got their teacher, which is Reverse Kakashi.
Mm-hmm.
instead of the face mask, he got an eye mask.
Instead of wearing a facial covering, he wears like a covering over his eyes, which, bro, it's COVID out here, bro. You gotta pull that down.
He put it over his eyes, bro, so he reversed Kakashi.
Yeah, but he fired though. He blindfolded, but he fired. We fired in the motherfucker.
He's not blind, but you know, he's not blind at all. I think.
Yeah, I said he blindfolded.
Oh, I was like, okay. I think his power activated by his him looking at somebody.
Yeah, I seen that shit. It was like a reality marble or something from Fate. It was fire. Yeah. I was like, man.
Yeah, but it has, I think, about 13 episodes so far.
13. I believe so.
But it is good. It's good. It has good storytelling so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has some stuff that I'm still like, where this gonna go? Mm-hmm. Because something happened in the I want to say like third episode. You think the season over in credits, in credits and stuff, but believe that him talking to the demon or to the cursed spirit, the main character, he promised him something, but we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He don't even know what it is. Like, so it's I don't know when shit gonna hit the fan. Mm-hmm. But I know shit gonna hit the fan. And I'm just waiting for shit to hit the fan.
Mm-hmm. The inevitable.
I don't know what they in promise.
Man. I'm telling you, it's about to go down.
Bro, this is about to be bad. But
yeah, man.
For the base of the how short it is right now, because there's still some more episodes that's coming out. But it catches your attention right off the bat and just keeps you there. Mm-hmm. With the action, yeah. With the action, nonstop action, and the great storytelling. That's
yep.
And that's the base of anime. Any anime, mm-hmm. Any good anime, great action. Some of them psychological horror, all that stuff. But mm-hmm. when you get down to it, it draws you in with the story, and it has some good set pieces, and mm-hmm. that it just like make you feel something.
Yeah, exactly. Like I watch pretty much any anime with a above par story and great action fights. I'll sit there and binge it all day. I love fight scenes that get real visceral, and the frame rate kind of heightens up, and you just feel the impact with every blow. And so that's why I kind of enamored with the Fate series, and that's why Jujutsu Kaisen is also my number one of anime for 2020. When I first watched it, the first episode you were talking about earlier, with where the part where the finger demon first comes out, and he just, bro, that fight he had with Reverse Kakashi, man, that let me know that I was gonna watch it. The fight at the end of the first episode is what's gonna pull you in and let you know there's some stuff going on, but if the first fight of the anime is that good, you're gonna keep watching because it can only go up from there. The animation quality is top notch. The lines are perfect. There's no slouching on this. Like anybody who's watched who watched Naruto Shippuden, and you remember the last fourth of the season, the anime quality dropped to computer frame rate trash issues during the fight scenes. None of that here. This is some top notch. This is some top notch production quality anime right here. Jujutsu Kaisen. Number one.
Drops mic.
Yarch.
Wow, that's pretty rough. Okay. Dang, man. I ain't know you gonna take it there.
I apologize for my outburst.
But let's conjoin a list together that we both can agree on. That's the collective top three.
Okay.
So, my number three, I will have to say, I'm still going with Haikyuu, bro. That's my number. My list ain't changed. What would you say is number three?
I think, bro, Castlevania Season 3 gotta be my number three. I'm not really that into sports anime. I think the closest I come to sports anime is Hajime no Ippo, and that's just because it's boxing. But I got to go with Castlevania Season 3.
Okay, what about, you know what? What about, I watched Castlevania. It's actually pretty good. What about, what was the other one that you said?
Blood of Zeus is good too. Castlevania drew me in closer. I just have more of a, since it has like three seasons, it was kind of endearing. But Blood of Zeus, the storytelling was pretty good and had some twists and turns. So, I don't know. I like Blood of Zeus though.
I'm trying to think over them two.
Since Blood of Zeus came out in 2020, I would give it a nod.
I'm thinking that Blood of Zeus, that's the only thing that I'll say that can top Haikyuu, because I watched Castlevania. Castlevania is good, but that's more like a five for me.
I feel.
So what we agree on? Blood of Zeus, number three?
Blood of Zeus. Yes, sir. Right,
Blood of Zeus, number three. Number two, I'm voting for ReZero.
Me too, man. I'm telling you, I watched it when it first came out back in 2016 or 2017. man. And I just, as you can see, I still remember that the creepy theme music, bro.
It pulls you in, man.
Yeah. And you can't stop watching. You can't stop watching. It's like crack. You don't know what is going to happen to this man next. And you just sitting there just watching this train wreck unfold.
It's not funny, but it's sad, bro. The joke is sad. Mm-hmm.
It's sad, bro.
I'm just like, this man breaks down crying. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one time in season one, because I'm not going to get into season two, because like I said, it just came out in 2020. In season mm-hmm. one, where he was in the mansion with the princess, and mm-hmm. he bawled out crying in her lap. Because mm-hmm. she was like, I wish you would tell me what's going on. Because he was so worried trying to figure out
mm-hmm.
why he keep dying in this mansion. And he did not know why. And he kind of figured out some stuff yep. happened and surprised him. One of the reasons that he can die, but it was not the main source of why he was dying, but one of the main reasons why he can die.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, he just balled up in tears and he couldn't explain it, because if he explained it, he would have died right then.
Mm-mm-mm.
And yep. it was just so hard, because it was just like, man, you want him to say something, but he can't. It was horrible.
It's sad. And then you realize, like, when he's like that, like, he has he has very few people that are actually his, like his real, like, people he can trust, because he'll meet somebody and then they'll end up killing them hours later, and they'll be chopping it up and shit, and then come to find out they'll kill him. Then he goes back and then he meets this person. And then he has to figure out, how am I not going to die? How is this person not going to kill me? It's crazy, man. It is wild.
That is a wild concept. That's mm-hmm. a very wild concept, man. And
creative.
Very creative, bro. Like,
because everybody's used to those animes where you got the main protagonist and his homeboys and his all his buddies and shit, and they just go and they just take over the world and they protect everybody, they save the castle and the princess and everything. No, you got Average Joe. Every time he die, he come back and he remembers everything, and it's you watching his trauma build up. It's
because crazy. He's not weak per se. He can handle himself. And like,
mm-hmm.
but everybody else got powers and all that stuff. Like,
yeah,
if you were just in the normal world, I think he could have handled himself.
Exactly.
But like, in this world, bro, he's pretty much useless.
It's a fixed fight. It's like fighting a whole army on steroids, and you just went to the gym and got a pump. You can't do it.
You can't, bro. You can't, man. Go watch. If y'all watching this right now, go watch that. Go watch that.
It's RE colon zero. Starting life in another world. Crazy, man.
Crazy. And of course, our number one, we both agree mm-hmm. on this too.
Indeed. It's already unanimous. It's already set in stone. Jujutsu Kaisen.
Okay, I don't know why you said it like that, but that's neither here nor
there. That's how they say it. Jujutsu Kaisen. Yeah, man.
Jujutsu Bro, you stupid.
Bro.
No.
Bro.
No.
I got to tell the truth, Mike.
No.
But Jujutsu Kaisen is great, though. It's a
great action.
Great action, great premise. It kind of endears itself to you by making you think of previous anime, but with a not only a fresh new coat of paint, but the creator differentiates the anime just enough to where it has its own identity, but and it draws you in with the action, the crisp, clear animation, which is a must for an anime for me to watch it, and just the craziness of the characters. You got there's the head dude. He works with voodoo dolls and shit. He got all these dolls and they do his fighting, and they look like stuffed animals, but if he catch you slipping, then he'll kill you with a teddy bear. Who thinks of stuff like that? And then he black. It's crazy. You gotta watch it, man. It's zany action. Zany, skillfully animated action.
For real. But that was good, man. Like you said, anime is coming with more heat every day. Just like I would have included Attack on Titan, but it came out at the end of the year, tail end of the year. Only has five episodes right now. So it's not even enough to even have a full opinion on the year. Don't even have enough. So that's why I didn't include that on my list. But so far it's trying to, I think it's going to close out well, because where Aaron and his group is at and where all the other people are at, and Aaron seen some things.
He done been through a lot of shit. That anime,
you caught all the way up.
No, I haven't caught not all the way up. I read the manga a little bit, but I haven't watched the new season. But I know it's crazy.
All I'm gonna say is he started seeing visions.
It's going down.
It basically tells you it divulged a lot in his visions, because he was, you know, his Titan can see the past and the future. A little bit of the future, not the whole future, but it definitely,
like, glimpses.
But definitely every Titan, I think every Titan, if I'm not mistaken, could see the person before they, you know, the person they eating, their memories. Well, I think it's probably just Aaron's Titan. But a lot of answered questions.
Shit, gotta check that shit out. Hell yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't watch the whole season 3.
I hadn't, bro. When I tell you, I've been like, I gotta get my love of anime back, man. I finally got time now.
Because I got you.
Yeah.
But
I got a breather,
I got you. So that probably would have been on my list if it had more episodes, but since it came out the tail end of the year, it's I'll put it as an honorable mention.
Yeah. I feel you on that. Yeah, Attack on Titans, great anime. Animation slick. You ain't gonna find nothing slicker.
And Fire Force 2.
Bruh. Season 2.
That would be another honorable mention, because at first I didn't like it. I ain't even gonna front. I did not like it. I didn't get it. I was like, why are they fighting fire with fire? I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I sat down and watched it. I couldn't get it after the third episode, but I was just like, let me just keep watching.
Just give it a little bit of time. Give it a little time.
And by episode 5, I was hooked. But it was, at first, it didn't catch my attention. If I would have did the normal rule of watching stuff, the first 3 of you out.
you would have missed some good stuff.
Yeah. But it's actually, I was like, but it's actually a great anime.
Okay.
But it's no pun intended. Fire.
Yeah. And I was automatically gonna watch it because it's the same guy that made Soul Eater, and I am a diehard Soul Eater fan. So it was already given that I was gonna watch it, and I feel the exact same way. Good anime, quality animation, good fight scenes. You can't beat it. You can't beat that's my combination.
And it dealing with the story dealing with corruption from higher ups, and you know stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he takes a hard fist to government corruption. I don't know if he's projecting what is happening in these days and age in his experience, but if that's a particular case, then he's letting all of his frustrations out in this anime.
The creator?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the manga, rather. But yeah, and then it's getting imported, man. It's crazy.
So let's go on to the next topic, and that'll be games 2020. A lot of them. We had good. We had okay, and we had very bad.
Very, very, very bad. Very, good. Very sad.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
And it got real ugly. I was very disappointed this year.
Okay, so we got games, I would say, that would disappointed us. I will say leave them up to two games.
Okay.
And two games that was like it was all right, and then top two games of the year that you would say.
Okay.
So you know, two and two.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Matter of fact, you make the top three. Just say seven games.
Seven.
We're gonna start with the games that disappointed us.
Mm-hmm.
Two games that disappointed me this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't even say disappointed me. One of them is who asked for this, and the other one is it was bad, and the only reason it was bad because it's the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So, the two games that I would say, one nobody asked for was One Punch Man, a hero nobody knows. Who asked for this?
Nobody.
It's literally a game, it's a fighting game, and you play as Atami at times, but majority of the time you play as every other character.
Cash grab.
Bro, you play as every other character, and the time limit drops. So Atami will come in and end the battle with one punch. That is just straight no. I can't even give no constructive criticism. Like, honestly, what can you say to it that would improve that game?
It's a simple cash grab. That's all it was. They trying to.
No, you go ahead and finish.
It was they're trying to cash in on the popularity of One Punch Man. That's literally the reason they made the game. That's the reason those games based on anime, the ones that are kind of bare bones, that's the reason a lot of them get created, is because they just want to cash in on the franchise.
Because it's not there for me, bro.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. I don't know. And the other one, I can understand if it's your first time playing or introduced to the series, I think this is a great game. I'm not saying that it's the worst game ever, But only reason that it's being put in this category is because it's the same story another go around. And the name of the game is Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. And only thing I got to say about this game is if, because it did a lot of good things. If you like Xenoverse, if you like Xenoverse and you play Xenoverse, you will pretty much enjoy this. It's the same. Yep. It runs and plays like Xenoverse, but in the same story that we played as kids throughout, is through the Buu saga, and it just I'm tired of playing the same thing. But if it was a new person that just picking up Dragon Ball Z for the first time, they probably gonna think this is the best game in the world.
Yeah.
But for
that's the reason why. The reason why, like, everybody, I think the reason why everybody was drawn to Xenoverse was because you got to create your own character, and it immersed you in the world of Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot just retells a story that we all know and love, of course, but it's been regurgitated constantly for the past 20 or 30 years at this point. So
we need something else.
Exactly.
And
not Super.
Nah, not Super. But if they would have took their own spin on things and kind of created a what if scenario, or what if this and that,
yeah,
probably would have got more attention than it did. It's like I said, it's not a bad game, but the only reason it's being put in this category, for me, this is my opinion, I'm tired of the same story.
Yeah, they should have made Xenoverse 3. They should have made Xenoverse 3. That would have been a better game.
But that's all I got to say about that. But if you get Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, I would say wait till the price drops if you still want to get it. Do not buy games just because I say that is horrible. If you want to try it, try it. But for me, it's not worth my time.
Yeah. Same here. And like with mine, I think Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is going to be my first one as well. Like, as kids growing up, we used to play fight to Dragon Ball Z. That used to be like, everybody wanted to be Goku, or wanted to be Cell, or wanted to be Frieza. And I grew up knowing that. I didn't even think of Dragon Ball Z as an anime until I got old and realized it's from Japan. It's animated. It's an anime. I thought for the longest that Dragon Ball Z was like, it was just ubiquitous like that. It was something outside the realm of anime. But growing up from that and then just playing this, it's just like, we're not playing it because I didn't even pick it up. And the reason why is because I've played it all before. I played the fighting games. I played Budokai. I played Budokai Tenkaichi. I played Budokai 3. I've played Raging Blast 2. I played the one that came out on Xbox, the first one that allowed you to create your own character. And then I played Xenoverse 1 and Xenoverse 2. Bro, I'm Dragon Ball Z'd out. I can't do it. I just couldn't do it with Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. And my second disappointment and major, major letdown. We got to address the elephant in the room. Don't laugh, man. This was supposed to be it. This was supposed to be one of the ones.
Come on down.
Cyberpunk 2077, man.
Cyber Glitch 77.
Bro, man.
Don't even get to 20. It glitched out on 20. It's just 77.
Oh my god, bro. I did not think it was going to be this bad. I can't. And for those who are uninitiated, there were so many promises made. First of all, Cyberpunk 2077 comes from the people who made The Witcher 3. If you have any, if you have ever played the game, or you liked any of the concepts in the game, this studio basically built themselves. They created an entire world that you got immersed and initiated in. The graphics were amazing. The storytelling was top notch, and that applies here. The graphics are amazing. The storytelling is top notch, but everything else has been shitted on. Everything else.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and ask me. My look of shame.
But didn't the Rich Witcher 3 come out with bugs? They had to update it before. Yep.
Before it got good. Yeah, the exact same thing happened. I remember way back when I played it a couple of months after it came out, but I remember all the scrutiny that the game came down on. By the time I played it, it was pretty good. So I have nothing but good things to say about The Witcher. But me believing in CD Projekt Red, being a CD Projekt Red fanboy, I have been utterly disappointed by Cyberpunk 2020. But I can't stop playing it. That has nothing to do with the reason why it's in my bad list. I can't stop playing it because I wanted to play it so bad, but it's full of glitches. The game the graphics are so heightened that it causes your system to crash. I don't even think people with a regular PS4 can even play it on a normal basis without frame rate drops or anything like that. I have a PlayStation 4 Pro, and a shameless plug, I put a custom solid state drive in there, dropped that thing up in there. So the load times are amazing. And my system still can't handle it, bro. It crashes at least once every 2 hours. Now, when it first came out, it crashed every 15 minutes, but it went up to 2 hours. So I just been quick saver constantly,
bruh,
playing my way through the game.
No, you're not about to save this.
Bro, it's patch 1.6, bro. Patch 1.6.
First of all, it's not gonna work right until probably about 2077. But
don't do it like that, big dog. Don't do it like that.
But nah, it probably ain't gonna work right until about end of July.
Yeah, that's when they gonna get all the work out of the kinks and the bugs out halfway through the year. But for now, it is a buggy.
It's a mess. You were trying to look for the work. It's a mess.
It's a mess. The AI is trash. There was one playthrough, and I'm actually gonna do some commentary, and I'm gonna send this to you, but there was this mission where I had to infiltrate this building full of these steroid filled dudes and dudettes that everybody was swole. Okay, so I had to kill this one guy. So I'm trying to do my thing. I crafted a sniper rifle. I'm out there picking them off. I drop down, try to go in the building. And as soon as I go in the building, they see me, they on my ass. I get out, I run, because I can't fight they have muscle mass, and they got like bulletproof armor embedded in their skin. So I can't kill. It's hard for me to kill them. So I'm running like Craig from Damon. I'm running from like Cat Williams from Damon. Like Pimp Down is how fast I'm running. I'm running. I glitch into the wall. I glitch through a wall. I go under the building. I can see through the building. I see the huge girl with the dreads. This girl has muscles, dreads, and a grill. And she is looking at me with the meanest I'ma kill you look in her face. But she can't get to me. I'm glitching the wall. I walk under the building. And I see the dude I gotta kill. I see him through a wall. And he looking at me. He like, hey, what you gonna do, motherfucker? And I shot him through the wall. Glitched back into the game and completed the mission. Bro, when I send you this shit, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. But I had such high hopes for this game. But it has a good framework. There's so much stuff that I want to talk about, but we would be here literally all night. But in its current state, do not buy Cyberpunk 2077. You can't buy it on PS4 digital store because they took it down. I literally have one of the only PlayStation 4s with that game on the hard drive digital version. But if you don't have a high-end PC, don't buy this game. Don't hurt your feelings like I did. Don't hurt your soul. If you got a PS5 or Xbox One X, still don't buy this motherfucker because it's just a port of the PS4 and Xbox One versions. Don't hurt yourself like I did. I'm in the arms of the angel right now. Is this where you really want to be?
I'm the angel.
This is not where you want to be. Boy, you stupid.
Have you purchased Cyber Glitch 2077?
You may be diagnosed with mesothelioma. Oh yeah, and it'll make your fans run hot. Your fans gonna sound like an F-22 bomber jet plane turbine when this shit come on. And until it inevitably crashes, you will continue to hear that shit. But when you pause the menu, the fan stops. That's all I can say.
No, there's no good end of the road. No.
R.I.P. Cyber Glitch 2077.
The game said he misses his Uncle Charles, y'all.
I met my Uncle Charles. Oh.
Man. He's meeting them at the crossroads.
I'm telling you, Bone Thugs and Harmony gonna miss everybody. Gonna miss everybody.
The games, I'll say, wait till the price drops. One game, I will say straight up, wait till the price drops, is Spider-Man, Miles Morales. It's a glorified DLC. It's 7 hours.
Hot take.
I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not worth full price. That's a good $20. That's a good $20. But it's damn good, but it's not worth full price for the amount of hours that you put in.
Exactly.
Because I'm not sure, but it felt as long as all the Spider-Man DLC put together.
Hot take.
I gotta look up these numbers. I'm not sure right now, but I'm gonna look it up, and I'm probably post this, put it somewhere. I might be wrong, but that's how long it felt. It wasn't that long. It was like I was in and out. But that's not discrediting the game. It's still from the first game. It still has the smooth movement. Miles, of course, moves a little differently than Peter.
He got drip. The first superhero game with some drip.
Yeah. Like his fighting movements is way different than Peter. It's still, you know, spider style, but he you know, you can feel it as you playing with him that he plays like really different from Peter. Yeah. Because one, he's smaller, he's not as like buffed up, because Peter in this game is like, what, he's like in his early 20s.
Yeah, I think he's like 24, 25, and Miles is still in high school.
Yeah, he's like 16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, from a teenage boy to pretty much a grown man, they have different muscle mass per se, and of course, Miles is not stronger than Peter, even though they both have spider strength.
Yeah.
So they want to fight differently. It had different cast of villains.
Yep.
If you complete all the side missions, they had a couple surprises where it had old villains come up. Of course, throughout the whole game, Peter is talking to you because Peter is on a trip with Mary Jane the whole game. So he leaves the city up to you. But like I said, to me it's glorified DLC. and just buy when the price drops.
Exactly.
So, and what's the second game? I will say that's I don't have any second game, but that's well, I would say Yakuza Like a Dragon. For me. For me. Why you laugh?
Bro.
What?
Bro, you love the Yakuza games, dog.
But for me, dog. For me, bro. I like Yakuza series. Mm-hmm. All seven games, 0 through 6. Because they had Yakuza 0, which is the prequel to the first Yakuza game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they got 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. All following the story of Kiryu Kazuma. And it was
the realest Yakuza ever to live, apparently.
Yes. He a real one. He a truth. He is the truth. But this seventh game follows somebody new. But they taking a chance on to flip the battle style from being an action RPG to a turn-based RPG. And if you play the Yakuza games, it's not that. It's way off the mark from the Yakuza series, but as I played a little bit, it's all right. Mm-hmm. It's still not my cup of tea per se, because like I said, it's not bad. Still great, funny Yakuza antics. It doesn't stray away from the comedy that's in there and the storytelling that's in there. It's just a different battle style.
Yeah.
And then that's really not my type of thing. Only games that I probably accept that from is probably Persona 5, because the story is it pulls you in. Pulls you in with the story, the music, and all this stuff. And some Final Fantasy games, not all, because some of them was straight boring.
15. Hate to say it, but 15.
You can get out. You can get out. I like 15.
Bro, you ain't played Final Fantasy 4. Play Final Fantasy 4. Well, you don't like turn-based, but yeah, play Final Fantasy 4. Come back and I play 15. You can be like,
eh. You know what's crazy? The only games that I play turn-based is the Tamagotchi's Tensei games. I haven't played no Final Fantasy. Maybe because it's a different...
For real?
I played Final Fantasy before, but I haven't played, like... Let me rephrase that. I played Final Fantasy before, but the Final Fantasy games I played, I played a little bit of 7, but I didn't own the game at first until, you know, now. But I played the first Final Fantasy game I ever played was Final Fantasy Crisis Core.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I thought all of them gonna be like that. When I started playing them, I was just like, all right. And I thought it was gonna all be like Crisis Core, because Crisis Core was kind of like how the battle system for Kingdom Hearts was.
Mm-hmm.
It still had kind of like turn-based elements, RPG elements, where you can pick potions and all that stuff on the side, but it was still action. It was still an action RPG.
Yeah, you directly control the action as opposed to waiting your turn to attack.
But I played games such as the Yu-Gi-Oh game, you know, the card games. Mm-hmm. I think I played Magic with y'all one time before. I'm not good at that game, but I played that as a console game before, and it was all right. But the most fun I had with a turn-based game is the Persona games.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because the atmosphere, the music. I'm gonna put emphasis on the music that draws you in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the groovy stuff. It's just,
yeah, man. That intro scene is amazing. I love Persona 5 too. It's edgelord Pokemon to me, but I love Shin Megami Tensei games.
Edgelord?
It's edgelord. It's edgy shit. That's why I call it edgelord. But I love Shin Megami Tensei, the series, the franchise, rather, based in the world of Shin Megami Tensei. And most of the creatures that are in Persona 5 were in that game. A lot of people called it Mega Ten, but the name of the game was Shin Megami Tensei Imagine, and it was good. It was basically very. It was more similar to Pokemon than Persona 5 is. Like Persona 5, you get weapons and everything, but it is similar to World of Warcraft, where you can get a sword or a gun or whatever, and you have one of your personas, not really your personas, because in the mainstream games, where in Persona, they're called personas, they're actually called demons. So just imagine, so what's a titular demon? Jack Frost. You know how Jack Frost is a persona in Persona, in the Persona series. He's a demon in the regular Shin Megami Tensei series. And your demon basically follows you around and fights demons for you and with you. And it's a good experience. So yeah. Shin Megami Tensei series is near and dear to my heart, as well as Digital Devil Summoner, which I never got a chance to play, but I always wanted to, as well as Digital Devil Saga. But yeah, all of them good.
So that with the turn-based thing is for the Yakuza series, it's a different turn. I like that they taking chances, but mm-hmm. it's gonna take me some time to get used to it, because I spent so long just playing that way. Mm-hmm. You know, action based. And after seven games, it's not like this is the third installment. Seven games of one way. That's just like Final Fantasy fans. I'm pretty sure they felt the way, just like you saying, you felt the way when 15, they took mm-hmm. a way different approach.
Yeah. It wasn't that they took a different approach. It was the way they did it. Like, you know, I'm a Kingdom Hearts fan. I like the combos and the fights and everything like that. But in Kingdom Hearts, in Final Fantasy 15, the thing that stops me from enjoying it as much as I would normally is that all you have to do is hold the X button and he does all the same combos. When I realized that, like 90% of the way through the game, like I almost beat the game before I found that out. It hurt my heart. I was like, bro, I thought I was fine for real.
Come to so find you out, like this, the game. You just.
I feel betrayed.
So with you knowing that, would you bother that full price or you would have waited until the price dropped?
But yeah, man, I got it at I guess I had it at full price and it disappointed me. 90% of the way through the game. Oh shit. But yeah, my two, they're not really disappointments, they're more like honorable mention. The first one, Fall Guys. If you didn't get it when it first came out, you're gonna have to come out your pockets, because its original release was on the monthly subscriptions for I think both Xbox as well as PlayStation. So it was free on PlayStation Plus when it first came out, and I think now it's $10 or $20. But if you, as a kid, if you ever played Mario Party with your friends or family on Nintendo, or if you like party games in general, like multiplayer games, you will enjoy Fall Guys. If you got family members coming over with little kids, you can sit them in front of the TV and just play Fall Guys and they'll watch it, or you can play it with them. Because imagine Mario Party, but instead of having your titular characters like Mario, Luigi, and Peach, it's a bunch of marshmallows with black dots for eyes that you can dress up. And those are the Fall Guys.
What's the price now?
I think it's like 20, if I'm not mistaken. 10 or 21.
That's worth price. I wouldn't say getting it when the price drops, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's an honorable mention. It's not in my top, but it's a good game.
You on your top threes now?
No. This is just, yeah, I'm just doing it's an honorable mention. It's a cheaper game, so I figured I'd put it in this one. But it's not in my top three, because it's not really no games that I think from this year that I give an honorable mention. But I think Fall Guys falls under the list. It's cheap, it's good for the moment. This is not a game that you're gonna be playing constantly. It's something you're gonna pick up when you're bored, play it, put it down, and you're gonna try to get number one, because you play against 59 other people. It's a bunch of y'all. And it's kind of like Battle Royale style, and the mini games are randomized. The first one, and basically it's a race to the finish. Some of the mini games have you running through an obstacle course. Some of them having you match the colors or match the fruits on the screen and try not to fall. And then some of them actually group you up in your own teams and you're playing against each other. Like, there's this one of my favorite mini games is one where they'll take three teams, a red, a yellow, and a blue team, and there's these balls that you have to run after and get. And then some people are running interference, some people are running to grab the balls and bring them over to their side. And the team with the most balls at the end of about the minute and 30 seconds wins. Man, it gets wild. You get to see a lot of these people actually play basketball and soccer and things like that, because they'll make their Fall Guys do crazy stuff. But yeah, I think Fall Guys is in the gray area that we're talking about right now, because it's not something that's gonna keep your attention. But if you got some time to burn, or you just need to de-stress, or if you just want to look at some crazy Teletubby looking stuff, Fall Guys is going to be the one for you.
Alright, so let's go ahead and move to top three. Top three games for me this year, and in this order. I know this game didn't come out this year. I'm going to put it at number three anyway, is Among Us. Among Us, very fun, simple game. Same kind of. It's you got maximum of 10 players. there can be the maximum number of imposters that I play with is like two. But you own the ship and you gotta figure out who's the imposter on the ship, and you gotta vote, and it's pretty fun.
It's like pretty murder mystery on times.
But you gotta guess it. You gotta guess who it is. And people gotta be very intuitive and notice certain things. So them people can be clever. My number two game is Streets of Rage 4. Simple beat 'em up. Took me back to the day I was on Sega Dreamcast playing it with my pops. We playing Streets of Rage 2 on the Sega Dreamcast. And it's only, I wanted to say, $20. So it's cheap. You don't have to pay full price for that game. And that's simple. It's not really a story to it. You just go and beat up some people. Well, that is kind of a story, but honestly, barely. I don't follow it. I don't follow the story. But my number one game. Now, there is some games that were good this year that I left off that were perceived by the community that was good, but I can't say for myself. So I can put these honorable mentions that I can't say personally they're good because I haven't played them. And that'll be Hades, my honorable mentions, Hades, and Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing took the 2020 by storm. And Hades is a great indie game that I've heard, but the premise itself got me interested. But I'm going to play it this weekend and then come back with an update with that. But the premise itself will get you interested. You play as the son of Hades trying to get out of hell. And if you die, you start all the way over. So you got to basically make a clean run to escape hell.
Yeah, it's a roguelike.
It's on Nintendo Switch. So it's pretty good that I hear. I gotta play it. But my number one game this year, you already know what it is. If you know me, you know what it is. Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes, sir.
It's pretty visually, very, very pretty aesthetic. The story is, I love history, so it's right up my alley. You're in feudal Japan, you're trying to defeat the Khan, and you go about it by any means necessary. So the combat in it is great, how they use different stances, such as the water stance, the stone stance, and you have to switch stances throughout your combat to go against people with spears, or people with shields, or people with swords, or brutes. It's just different stances. You got your ghost stance that can kill people in an instant. And they use the PS4 controller to the maximum potential. They use the touchpad. They use pretty much everything on the PS4 controller. And I don't know how it didn't get Game of the Year, but that's a whole different other conversation. But that, for me, is top game of the year, 2020. So what about you? What's your top three?
my top three. Okay, so I only have there's really only two games that I put in my top, but I do have some honorable mentions that I want to list off that I haven't played, but I want to. First one is Mortal Kombat 11. Bro, I've been hyped for this game since 21 Savage was on the trailer last year. Brandon McKnight with the drum attached. What? When I saw 21 Savage on a Mortal Kombat trailer, I couldn't help but be excited. I haven't played it yet, but I definitely will get it, and I will be whooping y'all online. I'm a Mortal Kombat 10 expert, and Mortal Kombat 11 ain't gonna be no thing with the chicken wing. Second one, Doom Eternal. Love the first Doom. Doom Eternal is just Doom 1 on steroids, so gotta get that one. But on to my number two. My number two is gonna be Ghost of Tsushima as well. To piggyback off of what? Yeah, that's my number two. I get.
I'm wondering what's your number one. Okay,
bro. To piggyback off of what Charlie's saying, Ghost of Tsushima is an amazing. It's an amazing experience. It's one, the animation, not only animation, but the graphics are top notch. The combat animations. Amazing. This game is it's colorful while being also grounded in history, because you play as the as basically a member of the Japanese nobility when the Mongols are invading Tsushima, which is an island off the coast of mainland Japan. And the game is amazing. The graphics are amazing. The combat is amazing. The multiplayer is on some next level. It's some next level ish. It just makes you want to play the game even more. Your character in the multiplayer is customizable. You get incentives for beating, for making certain achievements. You get different customization and characters and color and masks and things of that nature. But Ghost of Tsushima all around, in the all around package, is anybody who plays video games would enjoy Ghost of Tsushima. You're going to enjoy it hands down, no matter who you are. If not for the combat or for the storytelling, just for the overall atmosphere, because the game has a very tranquil vibe to it. Like, for example, you could run on for like an hour. The scenery is just so beautiful. And like you were saying earlier, with the way they implemented the use of the DualShock controller, there's no mini map on the screen when you're playing the main game. You're guided to your next objective by gusts of wind that you access by swiping up on the PlayStation 4 touchpad. So that game's amazing. But my number one, and you gonna flip out, but my number one is Neo 2. I hate that nobody is talking about this game, bro. I got it when it first came out. If you are a Dark Souls fan or a Bloodborne fan or a Sekiro fan, exactly. But if you are any of those fans, or if you are a Devil May Cry or Ninja Gaiden fan, you will love this game. On one hand, because it's what's considered a Souls-like, even though I think it has its own identity in the event that killing enemies gives you experience. But if you die, you lose all that experience and you have to make it all the way back to where you lost your experience in order to gain it back. And it's similar to Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry, because Ninja Theory, a studio that's known in the past for working on those types of games where the action is nonstop and hectic and heavily stylized and in your face, hard-hitting action, they're the producers behind this game. Now, it shares a very similar premise to Ghost of Tsushima. It takes place in Japan in the medieval era during the, I want to say, Tokugawa shogunate. You play as an oni or a a half human, half demon, which you can fully customize. By the way, Character Creator is very immersive. You can create, I've created characters all the way from Midoriya, from My Hero Academia, all the way to original characters, to Naruto characters in this thing, as well as some real people. I created Blade from Marvel in this character creator. You're heavily customized. There's over a dozen weapons to play with, from regular swords to axes to dual hatchets to even using your own fists. It's deep. The combo system is deep. There's three different stances for each individual weapon, as well as the enemies. They're tough. The reason I like this one as opposed to Ghost of Tsushima is, one, because I like the more fantastical elements, because Ghost of Tsushima is very grounded in reality, and they took Japanese folklore and Japanese history and combined them into one in Neo 2, because you're a half demon and you're fighting these things called yokai, which are these basically demons that can range in size from a little toddler to a two-story building. You're fighting them all, and it feels like unbelievable odds, because you can, when you first start, you can die in two hits. The first boss is the second enemy in the game. It's a horse-headed demon or a bull-headed demon. The first night I played for 6 hours. I started playing at 6 o'clock. I didn't beat that boss, which was the second enemy of the game, until 12 o'clock midnight. And it just rolled from there. When I tell you the elation and the accomplishment I felt when I killed him, I couldn't help but feel proud. And that's what drew me in. Because midway through the game, you become so strong that the enemies can no longer kill you in one hit. And your reaction time is so fast that you feel like you actually having an anime fight in this thing. It feels like you, like, against all odds, you in there, you scrapping. And you're coming out on top with pure skill. But yeah, man, 10 out of 10 we'll do again. It might not be your favorite, but it's mine. Neo 2, for all the masochists out there who need to get their fix and know they're a real gamer, Neo 2, go get it.
All right. So, you know, that's the list, but let's go ahead and move to the next topic. Next topic, and we will, you know, wrap it up. So, what did you learn in 2020?
So what I learned in 2020 was to make sure your head is clear, because when there's chaos in a storm, the best way to prevail is to have a clear head. You want to make sure throughout all the issues and things that you have that you still are able to call on yourself and I know this shit is crazy, but I'm here. You want to hold together for everybody that you hold dear. Just keep your mind focused. Stay consistent. Practice makes perfect. If you work at something for long enough, eventually you'll master it. And of course, there's a 10,000 hour rule, which it sometimes takes less than 10,000 hours, trust me, if you're working at it consistently enough. As well as the third thing would be persistence. Just if something's not working, just keep working. You might not work at that thing, work at something else and then come back to it later. Being persistent with what you're doing, keeping your mind occupied, will keep you focused during troubled times. Those are the three things I learned.
All right. Good. But things I learned in 2020 is to cherish things that you have while they're here. because things could be taken away from you, and you don't know. So I would say cherish all the things that you have, and just, you know, small things do matter. And also consistency plays a huge part into being successful in life. And sometimes, even though you want to be consistent, you have to take a mental break. So also learn, don't be hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So people out there, don't rush your process because you see everybody else moving so fast that mm-hmm. it may seem like you're not keeping up, but everybody moves at their own speed. But you have to be consistent as well to actually move forward. And just read more, people. Read more. Read a book. That's a thing that people need to do. It helps you broaden your mind to different things. So I would say read, cherish the things that you love, and consistency, and not being too hard on yourself. That's why I learned about 2020. So basically, I guess a healing journey. Mm-hmm. That's what indeed. I can say.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. But this is the end of the show, and you know, we gotta, you know, kick it out.
Pretty gotta sure get it out of here.
Everybody listen to this. This is 2021, so mm-hmm. you know, it's Happy New Year. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna come back with some more content, and mm-hmm. thank you, Janal, again for coming up here.
No problem. Amen. And I just want to say something real quick. A great man once told me, let all your problems last as long as your New Year's resolution. And I hope everybody's New Year's resolution is pretty short. No problems. Love, peace. Thank y'all for y'all time, y'all love. And hey, appreciate it, my nigga.
All right, man. See y'all later, guys.
Peace.